when communication becomes your strategy, you shift from being the glue in your business to being the growth engine. But they can't do that. They actually need vision, strategy, and structure from you so that they can step up themselves.
What if I told you that communication, not doing more, is the secret to scaling your salon? Today's episode, Joel is fresh off the plane from Bali and ready to drop some absolute gold around what it really means to step into your salon CEO role. So he's going to unpack the four levels of salon growth and revealing why being the doer is the very thing holding your business back from real sustainable success. Joel dives deep into what he calls the communication expert officer. It's a powerful new identity for salon owners ready to lead with vision, not chaos, and you'll learn the game-changing mindset and the 12-pillar communication strategy that allows our top-performing clients to scale to $1 million while working fewer hours and leading better teams. This one's raw, real, and filled with wake-up calls. And if you're feeling like you're the bottleneck in your business, then this episode was made for you. Let's dive on in.
Hey team, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Joel Bozade, and such a pleasure to spend some time with you today. I just got off the plane from Bali, where I spent the last couple of weeks with my family over there, rejuvenating, resetting, and I've come back pretty energized, a little bit cold, but I wanted to talk to you today about your role in your business. And to get started with, I want to give you a bit of a visual. So here at Salon Owners Collective, we work with people in stages and phases. So if you can imagine a ladder, like a four-rung ladder, and at the bottom, you've got the operator. So that's often when you're pretty new, like it might be you and another person, and you're kind of like right in the weeds and doing it all. And then the next stage and phase is what we call the manager, when you start to build a team and revenue goes up and your problems change as well at that level. And then the third level is what we call the leader phase. And that's when you need to make a really conscious shift from being the skilled expert therapist or stylist that has a few team members to actually, I need to learn how to lead. I need to learn how to leverage so that eventually I can scale this thing. And the fourth and final stage right at the top is what we call the salon CEO stage and phase. And at Salon Owners Collective, there is a particular revenue point, which is $1 million turnover in one year, which means that you're at that stage and phase. There's also different problems at that level, and there's also a larger team at that level. There's also obviously a larger potential for revenue and particularly profit. So I wanted to share that with you because I want to unpack today what it means to actually be a salon CEO. Like, what does that actually mean, Joel? Like, I'm really good at running the salon. Operationally, we're good. Yep, we've got fires that we put out, and I'm good at training the team and teaching rebooking and, upskilling around consultations, and our services are awesome and our pricing's on point. Like, I've really nailed some of those operational, managerial, and leadership stages and phases. But I'd love to know, what does it mean to be a salon CEO? What's that actually about? And so, like I said, I just got back from Bali and I just ran this epic workshop training for our salon masters inside of Salon Owners Collective. And the workshop was called the Communication Expert Officer. And it's a little bit of a play on CEO, Chief Executive Officer, which we wouldn't typically use that in our industry. We wouldn't call ourselves a CEO. But it's my way of voting for if you were going to step into the role of salon CEO, like really stepping into that. I think a really good focus is not to be the Chief Executive Officer, but to actually go, what would it mean for me to be the Communication Expert Officer? And so this workshop was specifically a 12-pillar system to create a motivated, high-performing, self-led team so that you, the owner, can finally step back from the daily chaos and lead with intention. And I remember on the workshop, I said to everyone, who's keen on that? And everyone put up their hand and said, that's me. And so I think when communication becomes your strategy, you shift from being the glue in your business to being the growth engine. And so this entire strategy, this workshop that we give to our owners to implement is something that when they implement it, on the other side of that implementation, in just 3 to 5 hours a week, they will be able to align their team to their vision and scale their salon beyond themselves, which is so super exciting. I think it's fantastic. So as I said, 12-pillar system. And so the question that I have for you is, and you don't have to answer this, but just think about it. What if your job as a salon CEO wasn't doing, but instead communicating the future? Just let that sort of sit with you for a while, because I get to work in boardroom where I work with the salon owners that turn over the most amount of money at Salon Owners Collective. It's a pretty cool place to be. And I can tell you that for the majority of them, those that are doing the do, like in the trenches, they're specifically doing that because they're so passionate about doing that for 3 or 5 hours a week. Like, they just love getting behind the chair. Or they're still doing the team workshops because they just love inspiring the team. But for the rest of it, it's all about communication. It's all about communicating the future. And the reality is if you keep being the doer, like the lead doer, then you will grow. Like, I'm not saying that if you stay in the trenches, stay in the weeds, stay in the business, that you won't grow. Like, you'll grow and you might even grow fast. But you will become the bottleneck. And when you're the bottleneck at 800 or 1.2 or $1.6 million turnover, that's way more stressful than when you're the bottleneck at $500,000. And so whilst there is immediate payoff to being the lead doer, recognize that the future is that you become the bottleneck. And some of you might be listening to this recognizing right now that actually I'm already the bottleneck. And when you're the bottleneck, when you're the lead doer, over time, it means that your people, your staff members, they don't naturally step up because you constantly are doing that. And it's a little bit of that chicken and egg, like you see an opportunity to do something, so you step in and do it. It's part of, it's the gift and the curse, right? Like, you just do it because that's what leaders do. You do the work. And what happens is that your team automatically stop taking initiative. Their initiative actually starts to die. And then, you know, 3 years into their employment, you're like, man, my people have no initiative. And we don't even realize that you're the person that's actually been dumbing or numbing that initiative out of them. And so ultimately, you get stuck in the weeds because you keep doing. And if you stop doing the do, then it stops. And when I say it, I mean the whole thing stops, right? And they won't pick up the ball because they're out of practice. Like, they just don't even know how to flex that initiative muscle anymore. And so you're in the weeds instead of unlocking the code that actually sets you free. And so there are many mistakes that we make around this area of communication. The first one is really, really obvious, is that at some point we did some communication training, or we read a book, or we learned about it, and we're like, oh yeah, communication, that's a soft skill. And we just never gave it the value that it actually deserves. And so when you see communication as a soft skill, often we don't really step into using communication well until it's needed. And so we become, not intentionally, we become a reactive communicator. And the challenge with that is that it reinforces the way in which your salon runs, which becomes reactively, which is not great. Another mistake that many of us make in the area of communication is that instead of leading with vision and strategy and structure, we wing it. And we wing it day to day. And that totally means that the team can't step up because they don't know how to wing it like you. Like, that's kind of like a bit of the gift that you've got, is you can wing the team meeting. You can wing the consultation. And I mean that with respect, obviously. But they can't do that. They actually need vision, strategy, and structure from you so that they can step up themselves. And so what it creates is a team that stays dependent on you winging it, because that's how you lead. And so I guess today, like, I want to be really, really clear that as I share with you, that my belief is that communication isn't a soft skill. And you can argue with me and say, yeah, Joel, but it actually is, and all of that. It's not a soft skill. Communication is your growth strategy. Just let that sit for a couple of seconds. Communication is your growth strategy. Think about it. How else does your team experience your strategy to grow? How do they experience it? Like, communication equals growth, your communication. And so if you're sitting there thinking, why haven't we grown recently? Why are we a little bit stagnant at the moment? You can point your finger as much as you want out there and give me all of the 17 reasons, which we already know that owners use as excuses as to why they're not growing. But the reality is that if your team aren't performing at their potential yet, it's not motivation. It's unclear expectations that you haven't communicated. It's not laziness in your team. It's a lack of structure that you haven't communicated. It's not a hiring problem. It's a leadership rhythm problem. And so the big idea that I really want you to, I guess, take away today as you listen to this is that in the context of your highest ambitions, your most meaningful goals, and your deepest aspirations to succeed, I want you to know that from someone that's worked with over 250,000 people, have been charged with the responsibility every single day of working with over 150 salon owners and their managers, and gets to work in and out of different organizations around the world and steps on stage many a times with the pressure of delivering results, I want you to know that communication transforms. And not just any communication, but your absolute best communication. Your best communication has the ability to implement structure in your business that scales your business, to create a rhythm that leads your people. You at your very best communication transforms performance, it transforms profit, it transforms you from the position that you're in, and it transforms your peace of mind. Communication transforms. And so before I dive into the 12 pillars, because I think it's useful to share the 12 pillars with you, I think you should know what those are. Like, what does a communication expert officer do in terms of the communication so that they don't have to be in the salon, behind the chair, in the room, delivering the services, etc. If you install these 12 pillars, what you'll start to notice is that your team will start to own outcomes instead of just tasks, which is fantastic. You'll start to notice that the culture compounds into something so special, like your team becomes the flower, not the bee. Like, people want to join your team. Instead of feeling awkward about putting up out a job advert, you come from such a place of abundance, like, we have an opening, queue up, girls, because someone's going to get this, but, you know, you got to be special to be a part of our team. And then finally, you begin to lead yourself through structure, not emotion or anxiety or stress. And so that's good. And I also think that if I share these 12 pillars with you and you do nothing with them, then of course what will happen is that you'll stay overwhelmed. You'll stay overwhelmed because you know you're the bottleneck right now, and being the bottleneck does not get better as you grow. Your A players, your top stylists and therapists, they'll plateau and maybe even walk. And then arriving at your first $1 million or your next $1 million will just feel out of reach. Like you'll be at 1.2 or 1.4. You'll say, I don't even know how I'd ever get to two. And so for that reason, I think it's important to really understand communication. We shared a model about communication, which is two words if you're taking notes today: intention and reception. And I think those are really important for us to understand, because I've met so many salon owners that are like, yeah, Joel, but I've told them before. I've told them 75 times. And the first thing you need to understand about intention is in your head. And the people that are rewarded for their communication, be it in the marketplace, like paid really well to stand on stage or to deliver a podcast, are able to articulate the intention that is in their head out through their mouth in a compelling way. That is the first part of communication. It's called intention. And I can tell you, working with 150 salon owners every single week, is that many of you struggle. Like, you got great intention in here and it all makes sense in your head, and then it comes through your mouth and it comes out different. It comes out, the words are different, they're jumbled, they're backwards, that's not inspiring, it's kind of dry or direct or abrupt or disrespectful or whatever, fill in the blank, right? And so being able to take what's in your head and deliver it out of your mouth in a way that's attractive to the ear of somebody else, that's the first skill of communication. And the second skill of communication isn't something that you do, but rather something you understand, which is understand reception, or otherwise that people listen to you through the lens of their own limiting beliefs. So I might be up here sharing some ideas and I think I'm doing a great job, like my intention is clear and it's amazing, but actually what people are hearing is, I'm not good enough. And you've probably experienced that before, and your team have probably experienced that before from you. And so we've got to realize that the reason why you need to communicate the absolute best that you can, especially when you're in front of your team, especially when you're facilitating change, you need to communicate the very best you can, because number one, your intention is probably average at best, the way in which your communication. And number two, your people are listening to you through their own limiting beliefs. And so there is no doubt in my mind that the only version of you that can show up when you're communicating to your team has got to be the version that is your absolute best. I hope that doesn't come across as pressure. I hope it comes across as an absolute privilege to be able to go, you know what? I've got this team meeting tomorrow. I've got this workshop I've got to run. I've got this consultation refresh that I'm going to do. And I can't wing that anymore. I've got to show up organized, planned, inspired, articulate. And I've got to understand that not everybody in the room is going to be thinking about this the way that I'm thinking about it. You got to show up your absolute best.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other million-dollar-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary million-dollar strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
Let me share with you the 12 pillars that a communication expert officer would embrace, implement into their business, and then use as the kind of backbone to their role. We kind of split the entire workshop up into three pieces. I'm going to give you the first piece today. It's called Unlocking the Code. The code of communication, like what are the 12 pillars? So let's dive into it. The first one is, drum roll please, in your own car on the steering wheel, is role clarity. I remember many a years ago, I actually spent 10 years working in Italy. I had a team of 25 people. We delivered to between 75 and 250 people every single day. We delivered leadership programs over there. It was a really freaking full-on operation, kind of like a salon, right? You got, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people that come in every single day, and it's like rinse and repeat, 5, 6, 7 days a week, and it doesn't stop. I call that high performance territory. So similarly, I was there and I didn't really know much about leadership and about inspiring people, about communicating well. And I rang my boss and I was like, look, we're about to go into like 6 months of delivery. There's 1,500 things I could train the team in. Do I start with feedback? Do I start with culture? Do I start with safety? Do I start with delivery? And he was like, Joel, you start with role clarity. Like, this is number one. Like, people must know and understand where their role begins and ends. Even if the roles are similar within the context of your salon, they need to know what they are responsible for. The outcomes that at the end of doing the hair, of doing the skin, of consulting, of stacking the shelves, of rebooking clients, like what is the impact of that role? What is that role about? And when people are clear about their roles, when they're clear, they commit. This is the fundamental piece of leadership. People will never commit unless they're clear. It's just the human brain. If I'm at a rock jump by the river and it's not clear to me that the landing's going to be safe, I will not commit and do that rock jump. The same is true with tasks, jobs, and responsibilities inside of your salon. So you got to give them clarity. And every single year, you should sit down with them, review their role, make sure they're clear, add in any upgrades, get their buy-in, and make sure that they absolutely understand what it means to be a part of your team. Okay, number two in the 12 pillars is what we call inside of Salon Owners Collective, the 100K mindset. And so there's no doubt in our minds that the first skill that you want to develop as a salon owner that's building something beautiful by your own measure is you need to develop the skill of knowing how to increase revenue. And obviously, you've got a team that is actually your engine for growth. The problem with people, not just your team, is 99% of people are messed up around money. Like, we have money mindset issues, barriers, beliefs that stop us from wanting to earn more money. Like, it's actually really, really compelling statistic. Like, every single person on the planet, bar a few. And so if that's true, then why on earth would your people want to work harder in their minds and earn more money? And so what we do in the 100K mindset is we actually run the team directly through a process that gets them bought into earning an extra 5, 10, 20, 30K a year. And they know exactly what they do with that money. And now they're lit up from the inside out. That's the 100K mindset. That's pillar number two. Pillar number three is what we call the 100K Club. 100K Club is for those in your team that have decided that their goal is to have a 100K salary. Now, I know there's many of you out there going, should I even pay myself 100K, Joel? How am my team ever going to earn 100K? Well, we show you exactly how to do that. But more specifically, when you decide that 50 or 60 or 70K is no longer something that you're going to settle for as a stylist or therapist, to actually step up and into the identity of a 100K stylist or therapist is actually pretty lonely. It's kind of like being a business owner, right? Like you're there by yourself. It seems like there's no one else. So what we do is inside, let's just say there's a salon size of 8 people, maybe 3 of them decide, yeah, I'm into this 100K salary thing. We get them together and we put them into something called the 100K Club. And they get to connect once a month with the owner as a small, tight little club where they celebrate and they connect and they're amongst like-minded high performers. It's exactly what everyone needs when they finally decide to step up, whatever the thing is. Pillar number four is what we call the 100K team. So we specifically show owners and managers and teams how to run a 10K week in terms of revenue in, with all of the things considered. And once someone can see visually what that looks like, it honestly, it reduces half of the anxiety around earning more. It's like, oh, so I just need to, instead of doing that, do that. And if I do more of that and that, and when the owner brings that in and says permission to run your weeks like this, it's just like, yeah, it's a real weight that gets lifted off the shoulders, but it's also really clarifying as well. It's a super significant shift in mindset and performance. And so the 100K team is absolutely critical, not only to them earning a 100K salary, but to your business actually growing into what you want it to become. Pillar number five is what we call one-on-ones. And we have two unique one-on-ones that we run inside of Salon Owners Collective and our owners implement. One of them is called My Next Pay Rise, and we actually have an app that is available, and the staff members of our owners use that app, and it demonstrates and shows to them exactly where they are in their week, fortnight, or month in relation to their targets. So they might get color-coded as red, or orange or green, which will demonstrate to them that they're on track or off track or close. And it will show them the metrics and numbers so that they really understand what it takes to unlock the next level of salary or bonus, commission, et cetera. And I think that's a really important part of a healthy way of sharing the growth of your business with your people. I think the days of like you being really profitable and then justifying you're not going to do pay rises because this year we took you all to Bali, for example, like that's not how you want to run a business when you've got a whole bunch of Gen Zs and millennials anymore. Like they're really interested and invested in transparent, inspiring business owners that can just say, hey, this is the pathway. If you follow it, you'll earn more. And not many businesses out there do that. And so I encourage you to be a part of My Next Pay Rise. If you want more information about the app, then you should reach out. Absolutely. We'll put a contact email in the show notes. The other one-on-one that we run every quarter with staff members is what we call the 7-minute one-on-one. It's incredible. It is everything that you need to increase engagement, to facilitate purpose, to elicit goals, and to reinforce performance metrics for your people. Just a little sneak peek into the 7-minute one-on-one. You're probably thinking, how on earth do you do a one-on-one in 7 minutes? So first of all, they prepare the one-on-one. There's 9 questions that they answer. It's the same 9 questions every quarter that they answer, and they take you through the meeting. And at the end, you get to go, great job. or do you need any support from me? And it's so elegant. It's so relevant. It's absolutely epic. And so many of our owners are using that to build engagement in their people. Because at the end of the day, what good is performance if your people end up leaving, right? It's no good. Then you just have to recruit and train and put people in your process again, which is fine. But if I'm running the business, like I want to get at least 7 years out of every single person, at least 7 years. And I'm certainly going into the bat for my 20 year plus people. Okay. Pillar number six is, of course, what we call encouragement 101. If you're from New Zealand, like me, or Australia, you might have been cursed with something called tall poppy syndrome, or you might have something running through your veins that we highly value, which is called humility. And because of that, we don't typically praise ourselves or others very well. And I've spent a fair bit of time working with North Americans in North America. And I got to take my hat off to you. Just like, you're just really good at it. Like just lifting other people up and highlighting their behaviors and results and encouraging them so well. And I think we've got a lot to learn from you guys over there. And that doesn't rule out other areas, geographies, cultures of the world. But just in my experience, that's something I've really noticed, particularly about Kiwis and Aussies, is we're pretty average at encouragement, regardless wherever you're from, even if you're good. When you say to a staff member, hey, great job, that was awesome, fantastic. And then you say to another staff member, great job, fantastic, that was awesome. And you've got like 12 staff members, by the way. You're like, hey, great job, that was awesome. What starts to happen is you feel like a broken record. For them, it's just generic. It's not authentic. What are they supposed to do with great job? At least they're not in the dog box. So, okay, I guess it's all good. But it doesn't land. It doesn't impact. It doesn't inspire, right? And so we've got to be better than that. And so in Encouragement 101, we give you a toolkit of techniques and phrases that you can use in different scenarios with different people to unlock that real feeling that every human being craves, which is being praised. And look, there's personalities out there that are like, don't praise me in public. I hate that. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying that for every single one of your staff members, they need to be praised. And if you don't have a toolkit to be able to do that, you're just not going to be the communication expert officer, the CEO that you could be. Okay. My favorite pillar out of all of them is pillar number seven. If you know me well, you know what this is. It's called hard conversations. It's my favorite topic in leadership is having hard conversations. The problem with hard conversations is, so let's just say you have a staff member. They behave in a way that's out of alignment, whether it's culturally, performance-wise, professionalism, whatever the case may be. And you need to course correct them. When you go to talk with them, if you don't lead from a place of structure and skill and process, you'll by default lead from a place of emotion. It will trigger shame in that person, and then they'll get defensive and they'll walk away from the experience feeling like there's a massive divide between you guys because you don't understand them. And then you'll be like, they don't understand me. It's my business. They need to understand me. And it doesn't go well if you don't develop the skill of running and leading hard conversations in a way that is absolutely not flawless, but almost. And that's what we do at Silent Owners Collective, is we give people not hard conversations 1.0, not hard conversations 2.0, but hard conversations 3.0 as well. So you can build the skill out so that when these difficult, adverse, less than ideal scenarios show up, instead of going, shit, I got to have this conversation, it's more like, all right, let's go. Let's go to work. Because you got the structure. You got the framework. You know how to have the hard conversation in a way that's compassionate, in a way that's confronting, in a way that's clear about what is acceptable in the now, next, and beyond future. That is what we're going into bat for. Okay, pillar number eight is what we would call manager cadence. Coach Greta is probably the longest serving coach at Salon Owners Collective, bar our founder, Larissa. And she's epic. And she ran a workshop in February with managers and owners. And it was all about, if we were to meet once a week, and if the manager was going to run that meeting and feed up the necessary communication only to the owner, what would that be? And how could we deliver that in a way that the manager feels really supported, and also that the owner gets only what they need and nothing that they don't? That's called the manager cadence, and is so good. And in terms of freedom and setting you free, this is absolutely it. So that's pillar number 8. And then we move into manager feedback. So pillar number 9 is, as an owner, you don't have to give every single member of your team feedback anymore, because you'll have a manager now, especially when you're at that salon CEO stage and phase, or even the leader stage, you've probably got a manager as well. So they can do the feedback, but you have to give your manager feedback. And the reason you have to give your manager feedback is because when you grow and develop your manager, which, you know, growth equals feedback. When you grow and develop your manager, they'll be engaged. They'll be growing faster and more than anybody else in the business. They'll show up to the business and lead in your absence in the future better than you. And that's great. That is absolutely great. So that's your job, is you've got to give your manager feedback. And when I say feedback, I don't mean just constructive feedback. You've got to dig into the encouragement toolkit, and you got to highlight them and elevate them and edify them and lift them up like nobody else in the business. They are your 2IC, so treat them that way. Grow them. And then pillar number 10 is, of course, get them into the Motivating Manager Program, which is a program that Coach Greta and myself run inside of Salon Owners Collective solely for the managers that are managing the business on behalf of the owners that we serve as well. We take care of their game plans, their goals, their aspirations. We deal with their fears, their psyche and psychology, their limiting beliefs. And honestly, one of the biggest values that they get out of it is, like, it's so nice to be in a group of other managers that have the same problems and challenges as me. I just feel like I'm doing a good job now, because otherwise, like owning a business, is actually a really lonely sport, being a manager. Okay. Pillar number 11 is team workshops and meetings. So this could arguably be two different pillars, but I would say that every single month you want to be running either a team meeting or you want to be running a team workshop. Team meeting is obviously reflecting on the past and then moving into the future, using communication to paint a picture of possibility about the future. It's typically mostly verbal. It might involve you sitting in a circle. You know, it's communication 101. It's a team meeting. You probably run team meetings every week, maybe every fortnight. But when you run a team meeting, it needs to be inspiring. What I need to hear from you is, I need to hear from you a conviction in the tone of your voice that things are going to be okay, that the future is bright, that the future is clear, that you're not confused, that you're not at the effect of the market conditions, that under your leadership, we're going to be okay. You need to communicate all of that in the tone of your voice and the body language that you use, even though you might not even be sure about that. There's a little bit of added extra responsibility for your next team meeting. And if you're running a workshop, well, obviously by the title and outcome of that workshop, let's just say you're re-looking at consultations, for example, you're demonstrating to the team that our better future involves us doing better consultations. So you're actually speaking into the kind of business that you want to become more of, or more known for, or better at. And that becomes really, really important. So let's just say every fortnight you have a team meeting, and every month, so the opposite fortnight, you run a team workshop. Like, I mean, I've been saying this for years, like, as a leader, you need to share the vision, like, make sure your people are aware of why they work here. The easiest way to do that is every fortnight run a meeting or a workshop and deliver those in an inspiring way. Tone and body language that demonstrates to your people What an amazing decision they made to come and join your team and your business. Okay, that brings us to pillar number 12. I know it took a little while to get here, but pillar number 12 we unpack inside the boardroom. So once you hit the $1 million mark, and it's called the 5-year sales ready plan. I think that it's really important to be aware of what your exit point is. But let's just say you're at $500,000 turnover right now. I think it's the wrong time to look at a 5-year sales ready plan. And there'll be many people that disagree with me on that. But the moment that you get it valued or look at your profit and times it by 3 and then da-da-da-da-da and do all of that, and you go, if I sold it today, I could walk away with $100,000. Like, the moment you distill that is the moment that you kill your ambition to make it 4, 5, 6, 7 times better. And I can tell you that those that are in the boardroom that are turning over $1, 2, 3 million a year, at $500,000, they weren't looking at their exit strategy. They were focused on growing. They really were. I think there's a time and a place. And I think the timing is once you turn over that $1 million mark, let's sit down, have a conversation and go, what would be the metrics, the indicators, the flags or the triggers that would suggest that you've got enough freedom and profit and now is the time to pass it on to somebody else? I think that's a really important conversation to have, but not too soon. So team, the 12 pillars, the CEO communication code, CEO being communication expert officer. I hope that's been useful for you today. If it has, then feel free to send us a message, share it on social media. Hopefully you're inside of our free group, Profitable Salon Owners. There's about 7,000 salon owners in there. If you listen to this and it was of any value to you whatsoever, let us know in the group. It would mean the world to us. And it gives us the fuel to keep making content like this that hopefully resonates with you, is relevant to you, and helps you along your journey. Okay, that's enough from me. Have an incredible rest of your day and definitely take some action.
And that's a wrap. Thank you, Joel. And if you're ready to go from bottleneck to bold salon CEO and build the salon that grows without you having to do it all, then it's time for us to chat. You need to book a free strategy call with me or one of my team, and we're going to map out a clear plan to shift you out of the day-to-day and into a scalable momentum towards your first or maybe your next $1 million year. We'll also explore if salon mastery or the boardroom is the right fit for you. Let's turn communication into your superpower and build the business you've always dreamed of. Maybe finally it's here. You're welcome to book a call by clicking on the link below in the show notes, or just find me on my website, or you can send me a DM, whatever works. Meantime, I look forward to connecting with you same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.